Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
You so totally rock! Did you guys ever see Nemo? You know the turtles, that's what they say. You could tell I'm a mom, right? They say, you so totally rock, dude. Women do rock, and so that's why we changed the name to Women Rock, because we are the women that rock the house. Things just don't get done if we don't do our job, right? I can't tell you how many times I say that to my family on a weekly basis. If I don't do this, nobody does this. And then the lists start coming out. Well, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I'm like, really? I didn't need any of that done. I needed this done. So don't aim in me too much, okay? You guys want, there's just this cute little thing that I have, and it's 10 things to do for your wife every day. I thought maybe we would print these out and secretly put them under the pillows of our husbands. In the bathrooms, on the toilet, right when they sit down, they could look at a wall. Okay, you want to hear them? Okay, number one, take a trip alone with her. Some of you are like, no, just take a trip alone would be good. Okay, no. Okay, number two, make a big deal about her birthday. Yeah, because when we say we don't want you to do anything, that's a lie. Okay, number three, give her a weekend away. Ooh. But then you know us. Oh, man, I miss you guys. Okay, I just want to come home. Okay, number four, get dressed up in suit and tie. Now, I know I have some friends in here that are like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I'm so sick of the sports clothes. And take her on a date. How many of you have been on a date recently? Just wanted to say. One, two, not many. All right, we need to work on this. Okay, we're getting into the marriage series this weekend, okay? Number five, pray continually for her and with her. Ooh, I like that one. Number six, take her to the place of your first date. For me, that wouldn't be romantic. It was Applebee's. Please don't take me there again. Okay, number six. Give her a week off from mom duties. Now, thank you, Jesus. That would be awesome. Number eight, take her to a show. Like, not like a movie, a show. Like, wouldn't that be cool to actually go get dressed up and see a show? Number nine, write a love letter to her. Wow. Now, that's romantic. 10, I would probably laugh through the whole letter because I'm so nervous. Okay, number 10. Give her a head-to-toe massage without expecting anything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I call those massages with no strings attached. All right. You know what? I'll just go ahead and make a couple copies of that. We'll just put that in Pastor Dan's, you know, Bible so that he can't deny it. How are you girls today? Right on. We are getting into a series called God Talk. And we're talking about prayer and being with God and communing with God and the importance of it. And, you know, we cannot be who we need to be as daughters of the Most High God without knowing who our Father is. You see, our identity is wrapped up in who He is. Our DNA is not from our earthly father, our motherly father, or our mothers, which honestly, I totally get myself a little bit more. There's days that I'm like, I'm totally mom, I'm totally dad, I think I'm a little psychotic in both of them. And, you know, you point things out in your kids, oh, he's just like you in that. And it's usually when something's not right. Oh, that was all you. That was not me. And, you know, those identity things are fine and they're earthly. But I believe God wants us to go a little further than the physical, a little further than what we naturally see, because there's spiritual lessons that have to be taught to us in our hearts, in our minds, and that we have to understand we're part of a new kingdom, we're part of a new tribe. I love this banner that says, find your tribe and love them strong. Girls, this is your tribe. Come on. Women Rock is your tribe. Look at the girls around you. We all might be different colors. We might come from different backgrounds. We might come from different families. Some are introverts. Some are extroverts. Some are crazy. Some are happy. Some are loud. Some are annoying. And you know what? It doesn't matter because family loves each other and we get through it, right? And that's who we are here at Women Rock. And so this is a safe place for us to come be ourselves and to learn about what God needs us to do, what He needs us to change. You know, there's not one season in life that God is not asking us to be equipped for. And, you know, I'm watching my mom, and every season my mom has had, it's a new adjustment. And every season in life is a new adjustment. I'm obviously in a new adjustment in life with our kids are growing up and there's new things happening. I was just talking to my friend Krista and we're going over what the girls are going through, our oldest, and we're like, no, when did this happen? You know, like it's heart-wrenching. But at the same time, I can be afraid, or I can say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to equip me for this new season of being a mom, this new season of being a wife to a senior pastor, this new season of loving my family on a different level, and they're going their own directions, but I want to love them and wherever they're at. You see, God will walk us through these seasons, and I believe that he just gave me some very simple tips in our prayer life and what unlocks things. We've been in a lot of meetings and talking about a lot of different things. There's many different generations in our church, and I love that. I think it's such a beautiful picture of heaven. And so I think our church is very unique. If you go to other churches, they're usually not as multicultural and multigenerational as we are. So I'm just very grateful that God has built us to look like our city. And we are who we are because we love Jesus, and then we love each other on top of that. And I believe that God was, you know, in our meetings, and we were talking, and I was hearing things like, well, the younger generation's like, what's in it for me? And, you know, I can hear that statement and go, what's in it for you? Try and be a mom, ain't nothing in it for you. Like, you sacrifice it all. You better think about yourself now because that ain't gonna happen later, you know? And honestly, you can get a little like, the older probably generation could be like, whatever, wait, you have a lot to learn. And honestly, I don't think God reacts that way. I don't think God says, you're right, what is in it for you? Oh, daughter, I have so much in it for you. I have given everything to make sure you have so much reward and so much faith and so much patience. I have so much in it for you. And any time my word is being spoken, and any time the word goes out, there is something for each generation in this room. There is something for every culture in this room. There is something for every personality in this room. You see, the word of God is never changing. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our society, the people in our world are going to change. They're going to morph. Your opinions are going to change. One day you like Donald Trump, and one day you hate him. And you know, you never know what's going on around our world. I mean, you could turn on the news, and they say one thing, and the next day they're completely opposite, and you're like, oh my gosh, everybody's crazy, you know? But the reality of it is I don't look at those things because I'm not in the world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I'm a new creation in Christ, and that means that when I need to find out what's in it for me, that's a valid question. And God says, oh, let's look into it then. So in prayer, what's in it for us? When I go to God and maybe I'm not hearing what I want to hear, or maybe I'm not getting anything like mom talked about and he's silent. Don't you just love the silent seasons? It's like he leaves you alone with yourself and you're like, this is not fun. I don't even like myself. I find a lot out about myself in those silent moments. And in those silent moments, I believe that there's lessons in those as well. Because sometimes God wants to show us that in our prayer time, that he's not going to just speak to us only in our prayer time, but he's going to speak to us because we prayed, and then he's going to send things to speak to us in other ways. For instance, I was going through something, and, you know, my message last week, I'm like, he wants to be the first one you call. He wants to be the first one, you know. And so I'm like, Lord, you're the first one. Let's talk. And he's like, I love you. It's all good. And then I'm like, what? That's not what I was asking. Like, come on, I need some depth here. I need like, more from you. And I didn't know what he was doing. And then I get this random phone call. And all of a sudden, this conversation just went into a beautiful conversation about God, into beautiful visions and dreams and things that God needed to do. And I was like, that was my answered prayer. It was through someone else. It wasn't me directly talking to God and he was dropping it all in. And sometimes there will be seasons for that. But that's why we need each other. Because you never know when you're going to need that random phone call. You never know when God's going to speak something through you to somebody else or somebody else through you. And don't diminish that your prayer hasn't been answered because it doesn't look or it doesn't happen the way you expected it to happen. Because there's a lot in this for us. Prayer is probably the one most important thing that we cannot live without. Because if we don't talk to our Father, then we don't know him. We don't understand what's happening around us. We get devastated. Depression comes in. Our health fades. And so what is it? What's in it for me? Well, God wants to tell us today. There's three things that he gave me that's in it for us. If you're taking notes, God wants to begin a conversation with us. And what's in it for you? I want you to write this sentence down. In prayer, healing begins, love is received, and plans are laid out. We're going to break that down. Healing begins in prayer, love is received in prayer, and plans are laid out for us in prayer. You say, okay, well, healing. I need healing. Okay, I better start praying for that. You know, I've been kind of just listening to the doctor and just doing what they say. And you know, I'm kind of the it's going to happen and it's just how it is type person. But you know, what if God wants to put a gift of faith on you? You know, there are gifts of faith for different seasons of time. That when you need it, God will just pour it out on you and you could just believe God for the impossible. You can go there, but you're not going to get these gifts and these tools if you're not in the face of God, if you're not seeking God. Like we talked about last week, he yearns for us. He wants us to seek him. When we're in that seeking moment, God says, oh, good, this is where my healing can begin then. When you're with me, that's when I can start beginning something new inside of you. That's when I can begin to change and morph what it is about your natural world that needs to link up with the supernatural world. You see, we live in these bodies and we deal with these earthly things and they become very big to us. And God goes, that is not a big deal. That is not an issue for me. That's a non-issue for God sometimes. But he's such a good God. He listens to us anyways and he totally consoles us in those things. But I believe God is calling us to a deeper level in our prayer life. And God wants to begin to heal some things in our lives. In Psalms 107, 19 through 22 in the Message Bible, so it should be on your screens, it says, some of you were sick because you lived a bad life. I don't know about you, but I lived a really nasty life before I served God. It was rank. It was embarrassing. It was, I always wonder when people introduce themselves to me at the back door, I'm like thinking, what school did you go to? Like, how do you know me? You know? Do you ever run into people and you think, oh, Lord. Some of you are like, no, I totally moved out of that state, so I have no issues. Sorry. Okay, so we lived a bad life. Your body's feeling the effects of your sin. You couldn't stand the sight of food. You were so miserable, you thought you'd be better off dead. Have we ever, as women, felt just depressed? That right there is depression. That right there is not of God. God came to give us life, but we're feeling like we just want to die. We just, you know, if we could just, I've said this many times, if I could just run away, walk away from everything and not have to deal with stress. And God says, well, I've never called you to be stressed and you're not allowing my healing to begin because you're not in prayer. So get in prayer, get in my face, get in my feet, be with me, and you're going to begin some healing here because this is never where God wanted us to be, but this is where we end up when we're not in prayer. Then you call out to God in desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He spoke the word that healed you. He pulled you back from the brink of death. So thank God for this marvelous love, for the miracle of mercy to the children he loves, offering thanksgiving and sacrifices. Tell the world what he has done. Sing it out, girls. Sing it out what he's done for you. Sometimes when we are depressed and when the enemy comes to take those thoughts and put them in a place that we should never go, you have to cast down those vain imaginations and get into the Spirit of God. Turn this flesh off and go, oh, I cast down those vain imaginations. I am a daughter of the Most High God. This is not who I am. This is where I'm going, and I'm going to be who you need me to be, God. And you have to build yourself back up. You have to be a cheerleader in your own right. Because you are more wonderful than you know you are. He gave everything for you. He never wants to see us hurting. And he says, I hate when you're crying on your bed alone. I hate that humans have hurt you and said things to you. You've been through molestation and rape. You've had abortions. Life has hit hard. You have a tainted view and skew of love, and you're having a hard time connecting with me because you don't understand a relationship with a father. Oh, but I love you, daughter. And as you get closer to God, God will begin to heal those things that go around in our mind, the depression. He wants to heal our emotional. He wants to heal our minds. You know, the Word of God says that we do not have a spirit of fear, but we have power, love, and a sound mind. I don't get a sound mind just by not talking to God all day long. I get a sound mind because I connect my spirit man back with my father. And I go, okay, got me back on track. You know, when I have a hard time, I can call my mom. I can call my dad. And then I talk with them. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, yeah, no, it's really not that bad. I'm good. And, you know, like, it kind of gets you back on track. Do you have a friend like that where she just gets you back in faith and, okay, you know, I have friends like that where, come on, Jess, you got this. Don't you just give up. Listen, the Holy Spirit is that for us as well. And when we don't pray and when we don't press in and when we don't take time, and it's going to be harder for us because he's not a tangible person. Like, I'm talking to Lori right now and we can talk about something. You're going to have to press in. You're going to have to get over the flesh. You're going to have to say, I'm putting these things aside. Maybe nobody knows I'm talking to God, but I know I'm with my Father right now because there's some healing that needs to happen on the inside of me, and I cannot stay the same in order to do what it is he's called me to do. Listen, he doesn't want us to be a stagnant body. He doesn't want us to not move, but we have to be healed in order to move forward. Listen, we talked about the emotional side, but God wants to heal us physically as well. If you don't have your health, you've heard that saying, you don't have anything. And listen, God never came so that we can be broke and busted and disgusted. God didn't come, die on the cross, and shed that blood and say that I came to heal you, and he doesn't heal you. You see, we have to press in. We have to get in faith and say, when my body's not feeling, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Every time it feels plugged, nope, it's going to open up in the name of Jesus. It's going to open up in the name of Jesus. It's going to open up in the name. It's like Micah, when I told you what the Tourette's thing is, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I mean, that is like a constant, repetitive thing. But I'd rather him repeat, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, than, oh, I'm hurting. Oh, I'm hurting. Oh, I can't. Oh, I can't go do that because I can't walk. Oh, I can't go do that because my back. Oh, I can't go do that because, you know, something hurts in the inside. Listen, when does God, when does that allow us to stop doing kingdom work? It's deliberately a plan from the enemy to stop us from working in the kingdom of God and working at our full capacity. I believe that we are in this world, but we are not of it. So that means we have to begin to start operating in new principles. And the principles of God are rest. The principles of God are peace. The principles of God are healing. Everything that brings no healing, stress, depression, and everything, that is not of God. So guess how we do that? We combat it with the Spirit. Oh, I'm coming against you, you demonic thing. You are not allowed to touch my body. I do not take this report. I got the report. Now I pray against you, cancer, in the name of Jesus. I pray against you, MS, in the name of Jesus. I pray against you, whatever it is that you've had a report over your body. You get in there. You press in. You say, I'm not putting up with this. It's not mine. I'm not owning it because I am a daughter of the Most High God. He went to that cross, and why do I have to live like this? He never wanted us to hurt. He didn't want that for us. But sometimes I think we just don't take time to press in. Sometimes, you know, we say we're so busy, but really, are we? With what? We're too busy to talk to our Creator, the one who knew us and formed us and knows every hair on our head, the one that knows our bad personalities and our good personalities and still loves us. You see, God is longing to begin some healing in our lives. Through this fast, it's been very interesting for me. I have been so aware of me. Have you ever had those moments like, I'm so aware of me? And me, I don't know if I like. Yeah. And in this fast, I was telling my husband last night, it's been so good because for about a year, I haven't really thought about me. There's been, as we talked about last week, there's been so much transition. And I'm kind of the glue in the family, and I want to keep everybody happy and make sure everybody's good. But I never dealt with Jess. I never really looked at Jess's feelings. And all of a sudden, things started coming up out of me in the past few weeks, and I'm like, that is not good. Where did that thought come from? Where did that feeling come from? And what is that? And see, I know by the Spirit what's wrong and right. You know what I did? I got in my prayer closet, and I began writing letters. Believe me, people got some letters, and then I tore them up. But they got letters. Do what you need to do to work through some of these feelings. Because if you leave them there, they will define your personality, and it will stop you from being able to love others, and healing will never happen for you. And when we begin to look at ourselves and we're aware of the healing that needs to go on in our hearts, then God can begin to do some new things. God begin to release some new things. God has assignments for us we've never even tapped into. God has new positions and new ways. God has new thoughts that need to come in, but you can't even understand that thought because you're holding on to the old way of doing life. And see, God was challenging me in this fast, like, come on, daughter, let's get this out. Like, you need to deal with these feelings. I know you've done it out of love to keep them in, but you've got to let them go. You can't keep them in. And it was such a good time for me. It was such a refreshing moment for me. And yes, I had a good cry. I'm being so honest with you guys. I'm human and I'm a girl. So I had a good cry, you know? And sometimes you just need to have a good cry because mom says it's just what your heart is feeling. Your eyes are leaking what your heart is feeling. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And in those moments, I always feel the love of God. Like, it's okay. I'm here. You're not alone in this. You're going to get through this. It's not as bad as you think it is. And, you know, I'm always worried about, like, God, am I not pleasing you? I just don't want to, I never want to not be right before you and just take me. I'm just so bad. He's like, you're not that bad. You know, like, the Holy Spirit has to come in and rebuild us back up because we can beat ourselves up. We can be our worst enemy. No one else is going to beat you up like you're going to beat yourself up. So honestly, God wants to begin some healing in our lives. I love this. I found this illustration. Dr. V, you'll love this. Medical studies went out and they showed that religious people tend to live healthier lives. They're less likely to smoke, to drink, and to drink and drive. In fact, people who pray tend to get sick less often. As separate studies conducted at the Duke, Dartmouth, and Yale University show, some statistics from these studies say that hospitalized people who never attend church have an average stay of 3 times longer than people who regularly attend church. Yeah, that's intense. Check this one out. Heart patients were 14 times more likely to die following surgery if they did not participate in religion. Elderly people who never or rarely attended church had a stroke rate double that of people who attended regularly. In Israel, religious people had a 40% less death rate from cardiovascular disease and cancer. Those people pray all the time. They go to that wall, they pray, they're in the face of God. People who are more religious tend to become depressed less often. And when they do become depressed, they recover more quickly from depression. That has consequences for their physical health and the quality of their lives. Interesting. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life, and that you may have it more abundantly." Listen, he wants to begin some healing inside of us. So our prayer time needs to be set aside to be with him because God wants to do some new things and he wants to pull some new things out and he wants to get rid of some things that have been comfortable, things that have been complacent in our lives, things that are not okay with him, but we're okay with it. And he goes, daughter, it's not okay. Have you ever, you know, we're blind to ourselves. You know that? I've had conversations with people. I'm like, but when you say it this way, it came across this way. Really? And that has happened to me so many times. So many times I've gone, do I sound crazy or something? Like, and Dan's like, well, it was how you said it, or it's how your delivery was. See, we're blind to ourselves. And sometimes it takes the Holy Spirit or a person we can trust to say, that's not okay. Like the way you said that or the way you talked to me, calm it down. You know, like, let's have a normal conversation. Let's do this the right way. And if we can be in love with each other and be honest with each other, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to use us in those things and get rid of these blind spots so that God can heal us of ourselves so that we can love others beautifully, so that we can be branches on the vine and on the tree for God to do what it is he's called us to do. You see, healing has to begin there. The second part is, in prayer, love is received. So many of us have attained a view of love. You know, the man that continually beats us up and we go over and over back to him, that cycle. Or the husband that cheated on us and, oh man, I never, ever, ever, ever going there. Maybe you had a father or mother leave you when you were young. Maybe your dad just wanted no relationship with you or your mom just never cared enough about you, was always too into drugs. Maybe you were molested and so, you know, sex is like this very tainted, nasty thing to you. Or it's just no value in it at all. And we relate sex and love, and that's That is not what God is talking about when he talks of love. You see, God wants to be our father for those that are broken. He wants to be the one that comforts you in your time of weakness. He wants to be a father to those that are fatherless. When you're an orphan and you're a widow, God is your father and he's your husband. He wants to be your right-hand man. He wants to be the one there to protect you, to guide you, to nurture you, to provide. You see, he is your ultimate source. He is the one true love that will never, ever, ever let you down. He will never fail you. He takes the brunt of most of your anger, but yet he still stays. He deals with all of your issues, but yet he doesn't care, and he's not judging you. He's asking you to change so that you become equipped to do what he's asked you to do. And in prayer, he will reveal this. In your time with God, your heart can be broken, and God can say, I love you. It's okay. It doesn't matter what they said about you. I love you. It doesn't matter how they think about you. I love you. It doesn't matter what has happened at your job. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'll go before you and bring favor in your life. Keep your heart white, daughter, so that I can go and do what I need to do. You see, in those intimate moments of prayer that we talked about last week, God can begin to pour out love on us. He can begin to give us a beautiful picture of love instead of a broken picture of love. And that's going to take some changing in our thought patterns. That's going to take some trust. And I understand that trust has been broken and humanity has hurt each other. You know, hurting people hurt people. But you know, God is not a hurting God. God's an amazing God. God's a God that died on a cross for us and he gave everything for you. He went to hell, took the keys of sin and death, went right to the right hand of his Father, and he left his authority on this earth for us so that we can be more than conquerors. More than a conqueror means that it's already done, and we just have to tap into that. And we have to find out what this ultimate supreme love is about. Everything God did for you and I was out of love. You were created out of love. Did you know that? You were formed and created. It wasn't mommy and daddy that made love and then had you. It was God who first thought of you, that loved you and said, oh, I need her. Oh, I need her gifts and oh, I need her talents and oh, I know that she may not be born, but I turn all things for the good of those that love the Lord. So she may have been in a messed up family. Oh, but I'm going to redeem her. And her story is going to bring love and restoration to others. You see, we cannot allow ourselves to get stuck in a path of distrust with God because we don't trust humans. We can't allow ourselves to not fall in love with God because we don't love men or women or people that have hurt us. We put our guards up. We put our walls up and we say, enough, I'm good. You're not allowed here. Listen, boundaries are good. If they're abusive boundaries, you definitely need them. It's a whole nother message. But with God, God doesn't need boundaries. And sometimes we say, God, this is my personal space. Don't go there. You can talk to me about like my life, but don't talk to me about the boyfriend I'm sleeping with. Because I find fulfillment in that. And God says, why do you find fulfillment in sin? You're separated from me. As much as you think you're connected to me, you are not. You have now separated our relationship. And God says, I want you fully and completely. Remember, we talked about him being a jealous God. He wants no other gods before him. And sometimes we fall back into patterns of life, and they become these familiar spirits to us. And it's something we've known, and our parents have known, and our grandparents have known. And there's these generational things that God says, none of that is based out of love. All of it has to be broken. All of it has to be severed so that you can have a healthy view on love. So you can know a love of a father is pure and it's just, and it thinks good things, good thoughts. It's not tainted and twisted thoughts, heartless thoughts, throw you out thoughts. That is not who he is. And God wants to begin to give us a love. When we can learn the love of God, we then can forgive. You see, forgiveness can't come without love. And out of love for God, you can forgive. Because I love you, God. I want to be right with you, and I don't want to be severed from you. God, I forgive so-and-so. Whether I ever get an apology, whether I ever understand their motives, whether ever justice happens in this situation, it doesn't matter. Because I love you so much that you're my source and it doesn't matter. And you release it and you let it go. When love is released, you're free. Love is the supreme power of the universe. And when we don't understand that that is what everything around us operates on, we walk in hate, frustration, gossip, lewdness, bitterness, all these other things start growing inside of our hearts, and love is not allowed in. And God says, but when you come to me and you humble yourself before me and you pray, you can hear my voice. And when you hear my voice, you're going to know my love. So let's open our hearts up to hearing God's love, to feeling God's love in our prayer time. In Deuteronomy 7:7-9, it says, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to his fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt. See, he was delivering them all the way back in the Old Testament, and he's still delivering us from the same stupid things. You know, we can read about the Israelites and go, oh, well, they just went round and around, and it took them forever. They never reached the promised land. But you know, how stupid are we? We do the same thing in our own modern way. We just go around the same issue, the same hate, the same unforgiveness, the same bitterness. God says, you're never going to reach the promised land because love is the answer for that. So here they were, and he says, but the hand of Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, verse 9, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, and the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his mercy for thousands of generations. Guys, that's us. We are thousands of generations. What he promised then is the same for us today. Those who love him and keep his commandments. You see, because I love God, I check my heart. Because I love God, I get into prayer and I say, God, what is it you need me to change? What is it about me that you need me to do for somebody? Lord, what is in here that would hurt you? Lord, what is it? Because God, I want to be an ambassador of love for you to others. And God, I cannot do that unless this is right. You see, in our prayer time, God wants to begin to release love in our hearts so that then we can release love to others. And we are an extension of who he is on this earth. You see, it's so important for us to get into prayer because there's a lot in it for us. In prayer, number one, it begins healing. Number two, love is released. And number three, plans can be laid out. Prayer gives us a pathway and a clarity in our lives. You know, so many of us are looking for things and we're making our own plans, especially us women, right? We can have like plan A, plan B, and plan C. And if plan A doesn't work, we'll go to plan B. And if plan B doesn't work, we'll go to plan C. And you know what? We've been planning a lot here at the church and doing a lot of things. But at the end of our meetings, we're going, but whatever God wants. But whatever he wants. We'll get our ducks in a row. We'll put our, you know, cross our T's and dot our I's. But whatever you want, Holy Spirit, do what you need to do. And that, I believe, is if we can move that into our personal lives and we can say, what is it that your heart's desires are? What is it that you stopped dreaming about? What is it that God placed in your heart and you got weary about? What is it that God wants to do? You say, I don't know how to get there, Pastor Jess. There were things that were in my heart a long time ago and I kind of let them die because I never saw them come to pass. And God says, I want you to rebuild those things in your heart through prayer. I want you to come back to me and say, God, what about this? Do you remember when we talked about this? You see, he's waiting to lay it out for us. He has the plan. But so many times we don't even consult God on where we should go, the steps we should take, the jobs we should accept or not accept, the people we should like do something for and allow in our lives. You see, God ordains everything. He puts it all into place. He knows exactly what's supposed to happen, and he's waiting for us to get into some prayer and to find out what those steps are, what the plans are, where we're supposed to go with it, what it is he wants to speak to our hearts so that we can be ambassadors for him. We are all full-time ministers of the gospel. I know you look at me and go, no, well, you're the pastor. Listen, no, you are in your community. You are in your home. You are at your grocery store or on your jobs or wherever you go. You are a walking testimony of Jesus, and he wants to give you a plan. He wants to lead us down a path so that more people can come to him, so that more people can know the goodness that you've experienced, so more people can be healed. You see, it is not our job to just hang out here on earth and be pleased with everything around us. This is just a place for us to reconnect with our Maker, and one day we're going to go home and we're going to be with Jesus and we're going to see clearly. But while we're here, we can still see clearly because we have him, because he lives within us, because he wants to direct us. And in our prayer time, if we begin to start bringing a paper and a pen and just start asking God, what should we do? What should we do? I so appreciate my dad. He's been, you know, tapping into different businesses and trying new things. But one thing about my dad, yesterday he tapped into a new one and he said, nothing kind of worked out. And somebody came to him and they said, well, do you want me to try this then? And he goes, no, I don't. And he said, because if God's not in it, and if God doesn't move on my behalf, I am not moving at all. Because I only want God's hand in everything I do, because then it will be blessed. You see, you could put this in your business. You could put this with your children. Oh, those children are driving you nuts. I do not know what to do with them. I don't know how to pray for them. This husband of mine, he's never, listen, don't use absolutes with God. You limit God with absolutes. Do you guys know what absolutes are? Never, you always, this is not going to ever change. God says, really, I never, always, he's never going to change. Am I not God? Can I not change him? But first I have to change your heart because there's something there, daughter. You see, be careful what you pray because they're going to deal with you first and then he'll deal with them. Just get ready. I'm warning you. That was for free. Okay, so, but don't use absolutes with God because God is omniscient. He is the one that knows all. He sees all. Nothing is impossible for him. There's nothing you can request that he's not going, well, I can't do that. He can do anything with faith. He can do anything with a woman who believes that gets in her father's face and says, hey, daddy, I need this because my kid is going down the wrong path. I pray that you would just stop him in his tracks. I pray that he's miserable in his sin. I pray, God, that he cannot turn away from the word that has implanted in his heart as a child. You see, those things, those bondages on your children, you have to get yourself back into faith. You have to pull out your sword. You have to get your shield out. And mama, you gotta pray. You have to pray for those kids. You have to pray for that husband. You need him to have a good job. Well, guess what? God has one. So God, what's the plan? What's the plan, God? You must have a plan. Where should we go? Who should we call? What should we do? What resource should we tap into? And the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you. And you will begin going down the right path because you're in the Spirit. You're doing what you need to do. You're in the face of God. And you're hearing heaven. You're hearing heaven. You're carrying heaven in a world that is so lost and dark and broken. Oh, but you, daughter of the Most High God, we carry a beam of light. We carry Jesus. We carry him. But we don't use it. We don't use what he's given. We get depressed and we complain. How dare we? Because he says, I have it all for you. What's in it for you? Everything. What's in it for you? Life. What's in it for you? Healing. What's in it for you? Love. What's in it for you is you connecting with me again because we were broken. You see, Adam and Eve walked with God. He loved them. They ate of that apple. Both of them did. So both of them were at fault. And it broke his heart. Because at that time, it became this journey of God reconnecting back with his children. Getting back with us. Connecting with us again. Wanting that intimate relationship with us again. He loves you. No man on this earth will ever give you what God can give you. No girlfriend on this earth will ever say the right thing to fulfill your heart. And we will all have those great friends, and they're wonderful. And we will all have those husbands in the name of Jesus that serve God and love him beautifully in the name of Jesus. No child, even though you love them so much, can I give you a little secret? They're not yours. They're on loan. You're an ambassador to get Jesus into their hearts so that when they become of age and they have to serve him, they know what to do and they're equipped to live in the world that they're called to live in. They were never ours in the first place. We are all his. We just get to be a part of this beautiful thing that God has given us. And it's such a beautiful gift that God entrusts us with the lives of these little ones. You see, prayer, what's in it for you? Everything.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.